You sure are. And in a moment, we're going to be talking with Monica the Medium right here on Coast to Coast AM. Need I say anything more? Welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Monica Tenkade grew up in Northern Virginia, had three sisters, large Catholic family. Monica knew there was something very special about her, but suppressed her gifts until high school. We'll find out why. Once she finally accepted this connection with spirit, Monica gained this steady flow of clients, and within months had to start a waiting list for readings. Of course, you can watch her work, Monica the Medium, Season 2, Monday nights on Freeform, which is the old ABC Family Network. Monica, welcome to the program. It's good to have you with us.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
I hear from a little bug that you know our buddy James von Prague.
Yes, I just saw him the other night. James is awesome.
He's a
We both
great
are now
guy.
in San Diego.
I saw him in an event once, and people were literally crying when they were asking questions about their departed ones, and he was
Absolutely.
spot on these people.
Yes.
You know, and he's been on the program a lot, and I've always asked him, I says, James, what do you think about people who try to trick you? And he said, that happens. You know, sometimes that they will do that, but at those points, I can't see what they want. So, you know, if they make up their dead grandmother and they ask me a question, I'm really baffled by what's going on. And when I get that feeling, I know there's something awry here. So that was a great answer to that.
That is so true, and it happens the exact same way for me when I have similar situations occur.
Now, this happened to you at a very young age, and you're still at a very young age, aren't you?
Yes, I'm only 22 years old.
A
Still
little
pretty young.
baby.
Yes. Yeah,
How did this happen for you?
well, for me, I was always intuitive and empathic growing up, but it really wasn't until high school that I started to feel, hear, and sense things around me. It really first started with certain friends and acquaintances when I would be around them and they would be telling a story about someone who had died when they were young. I would see or hear the ending of the story before they'd finished telling it. And it was like, oh my God, what's happening? I really wasn't even sure at first. But once it started happening with strangers and I got to the point where I would share with them what I was feeling or hearing, they would start crying and saying to me, how'd you know that? Like, nobody knows that about my mom, or how'd you know that about my brother? And kind of just been doing it ever since.
You're a full-fledged medium now. You're
Yes.
doing this like this is your career, it's your life, it's your passion, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm still technically a college student, more so that my mom doesn't have a heart
Ha,
attack.
I know that feeling.
Yeah,
My
but
granddaughter is going to be 22 in 2 weeks, and she's in her last year of school. And same thing.
Yeah,
She's
exactly.
not a
So
medium, but you guys are going through the same thing.
exactly. And it's hard because when you know exactly what you want to do for the rest of your life, and you are so sure in that being your career and are passionate about it and you love it, but you have some, people on the outside putting that pressure on you to get the degree and still at least have that. It's hard to say no. And I've already put so much time and energy and money. College is expensive, so I figure I might as well finish it, but I'm just going at a much slower pace now.
Now, how did the TV show evolve? How'd that happen?
Yeah, so that's kind of a long story, but long story.
Now we've got 2 hours.
Well, yeah,
Get
good thing
along
we have
here.
quite a bit of time. It was about 2 years ago, really. In the same week, I had three different producers, unrelated from each other, all reach out to me asking to have like a casual Skype conversation the same Friday, back to back to back. And now I was not looking or trying or asking or searching or applying to try to be on TV. Like, I was not putting that out there at all. So I remember thinking, okay, well, this is a sign from spirit that I'm supposed to at least be open to the idea of doing a television show. So I had those Skype calls that were all randomly the same afternoon, and I remember getting off these calls, and I called up my sisters and I told them, I said, hey guys, I have a feeling I'm going to have a TV show and it's going to be on ABC Family. And I'm no psychic. I just talk to dead people, but I just have
Ha
that that sense. And they were like, Monica, you're crazy. Like, first of all, ABC Family, now Freeform, you know, they aren't even doing reality, because at the time it was all scripted shows,
right.
Real Liars, The Fosters, and all those things. And then second of all, you had just a Skype conversation with some producers. And if you know the entertainment industry or Hollywood, that never really turns into anything. You should not get your hopes up. So I kind of left it at that. But lo and behold, a month later, then word of mouth had kind of spread amongst these production companies and networks, and I had 13 different meetings with production companies and different networks, and had talent offers from about half of them. And I met with Lionsgate, who are the producers of our show, had a great feeling, and my gut was telling me to go with them, and so I signed with Lionsgate, and I remember telling them the same thing. I'm only going to do this show if it's with ABC Family. And they said, well, we'll pitch it to everybody, but don't get your hopes up, for the same reasons. You know, they're not in reality and all of that. But here we are now. But now the name is Freeform. But, yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for
manifested,
you.
I believe, that, you know, it all kind of came together with the energy I put out there in the world.
Do you have to concentrate on the spirit world, or are you bombarded like Whoopi Goldberg was in the movie Ghost? Remember that? She's sitting there?
I haven't seen
Ghost. You're kidding.
I know, and everyone says, Monica, you're a medium. How have you never seen the movie Ghost? You're crazy. I don't really have much time for TV. I'm too busy talking to dead people and filming TV. So I don't really have much time to watch TV or movies.
She was Oda Mae, and the spirits would jump into her body.
Oh my God.
In the movie. And just drive her crazy. You know, she would be doing her thing. And I think she was somewhat aware that it was happening in the movie. But in terms of what happens with you, can you turn it on or off? Or is it always bombarding you?
Yeah, well, so when I first started doing this work, it was definitely a little bit of being bombarded everywhere I went. I mean, I remember being at the... I went to school at Penn State the last 3 years, and I would be at the cafeteria or the library, and I'd be sitting down typing an essay on my computer, and it'd be out of 40,000 people, the person who had just lost their mom or their brother just got murdered or their dad committed. It's like all these people with such tragedy would be the one, like the person who happened to sit next to me. And I just started giving all these readings, and I could never shut it off. So that was because I was just so starting out, and I didn't know how to really control it. So I've gotten to the point where I've learned how to set more boundaries with spirit and be like, no, this is my time. I'm off the clock. Like, my lights are turned out. Not only are my lights turned out, I've shattered the light bulb. You are not welcome.
Huh.
And so for the most part, they respect it a bit more, but there's always that pushy spirit sometimes. And people who watch my show, I've gotten some slack from the mediumship community a little bit, saying, where are your ethics, or you don't know how to control your gift if you can't turn it off, because they think, because of watching the show, they think I can never.
Well, we've got a real quick clip from the show.
Yeah.
I want to play that just so folks get a pretty good idea. Here we go.
You do have a very strong father energy that's around you. So his dad passed for you. Yeah, he's very excited to be here. I do feel like, okay, bring it down. Do you have two siblings, or are you one of three?
Yes.
So tell us what you're doing in that TV show like that.
Yes, so that was me giving a message from spirit, and I think, I can't remember what reading that is from. I believe I was shopping before going on a date. I think I was shopping for a new outfit. And so in situations like that where I'm at the mall or I'm at a restaurant or I'm out at the bar and I give a spontaneous reading, you know, there are absolutely times that happens, whether it be on TV or off. But I tell people who think like, oh, you can't ever shut it off because we watch your show and you're doing it all the time. I try to remind them, look, we film 12-hour days for months on end, and the show is about me being a medium, and people want to see the readings. There are many times I go to lunch and I don't give a reading, but they just might not include that scene or that clip into the episode because they want to focus on the readings. But yeah, the show really does follow my life, being a 22-year-old girl taking classes and with my roommates, dating, my friends, family, all of that, on top of balancing with my gift as a medium and connecting the spirit.
So you see them as well as hear them, the spirits?
Yes. I hear, feel, see, sense. And then sometimes I'll just know things. Like, I'll call that spirit vomit when it just comes out of my mouth.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where did that even come
from? Yeah.
Are they
looking the way they did when they died, or do they look younger? how do they look? Like if somebody was murdered, do you see them in that state, that murdered look state?
Well, spirit has the ability to show different aspects of their life and also different specific moments. So I could see spirit may show me a flash of an image from the time that they were murdered to show me the details of what exactly happened, so I can deliver that message and bring the validation that this is your loved one coming through. I've also had some people come through and communicate to me exactly what they were wearing in a casket for the viewing of the body, down to like the color of the buttons and the shoes and, you know, very specific details. But for the most part, when I just generally see them, I hear spirit more than I see, but occasionally they will come through pretty clearly. And when I do see them, I've noticed that spirit likes to show me, they like to come through showing kind of their the best version of themselves. So your grandmother may come through, and the way I describe her is the way you remember her maybe 10 or 15 years prior to her passing, when she was still able to move around and still looked a little bit, you know, more put together and all of that. So they kind of come through the way they want to most be remembered, or how you most remember them.
What do they want?
What do they want? I think, at least in what I do, they want to be able to use me as a messenger, the overseas translator, if you would say. And really, my job is to deliver the messages to their loved ones still here in the physical world, who really not just want a connection or want a knowing that their loved ones are around, but really need that.
Is there a closing they're looking for?
Yeah, I think it's more so knowing. Are you asking for spirit?
For spirits.
I think for spirit, they've kind of, because they're on the other side, they can see the bigger picture. They know all the ins and outs of what's going on in our lives, and they no longer have these very human emotions that we deal with in the physical world, of feelings of guilt or anger, jealousy, remorse. Like all, they can feel those emotions in regards to what they did, but they can kind of come to terms with a lot of things, whereas we are still processing it and going through that struggle. So their purpose really is to come through so that we can find some closure, so that it can bring us some healing and help us move through the day-to-day here in the physical world.
We're with Monica Tenkate, of course. She's Monica the Medium. Now, in your earlier days as a younger person, very strong Catholic background.
Yes.
Did that create any issues for you?
Well, my mom, she is the Hispanic conservative Catholic mother. So starting from the moment she even found out that I had this gift, it was quite the struggle and reaction from her. She found out in the worst possible way you'd want your mom to find out you talk to dead people.
Was she in denial, Monica?
She wasn't in denial that I had this ability. She never once questioned that I was a fraud or a con artist. She was just so worried that this could be something negative disguising itself as a spirit or an angel. And I remember her going with her Spanish accent, "You're talking to the devil, Monica," and crying at the kitchen table because she found out by eavesdropping and hearing me on a phone call. I had this whole plan to tell her, sit her down, like go through a presentation. She found out in the worst way.
So how did she finally accept this?
Well, you know, she still goes through her own struggles with having to kind of come to terms with her belief system and how that lines up with what it is her daughter does with communicating the spirit. And I think that she'll always have that worry, but the more that she has seen me do what I do and witness my gift and sharing it with people, she can see that it isn't some creepy negative thing. It's very positive, it's beautiful, it's healing, and you can see how much it brings to people when you watch them receive these messages. And so I think that's really helped her.
Why you? Have you ever thought about that?
All the time. But especially at the beginning, I remember being, why me out of all these people? I mean, there are a lot of people in this world that are gifted mediums, but I think you just have to come to a place where you can more so think about it as far as why not me? You know, if you're doing this every day and you're seeing all the good and you're seeing how much it's helping people and the healing it's bringing to those around you, it's like, well, then why not? So I had to come to a point where I stopped questioning why and just think of it as why not and just go with it.
Good for you.
Thank you.
What has been, in your career, the most heartwarming thing that you've had to go through? The most heartwarming thing that you had to go through doing this? A spirit of a little child?
There have been so many. See, I've given thousands of readings. It's hard to pick a specific moment, but I would say the ones that really hit home for me are connecting to children for parents, you know, parents who've lost their kids and bringing through their children and the messages from them. You know, no mom should have to lose a child, and same goes for a father. And I think that when children come through, they're oftentimes the strongest connection because their loved ones need it the most in a way. And one that really stands out to me, not long ago, I did a spontaneous reading at the grocery store for a woman whose 4-year-old daughter came through, and this woman's husband had, you know, accidentally backed up in the car and ran over their daughter who was riding by on her bicycle. And it's just the most tragic story I've heard in a long time. And her daughter came through so strong with her sassy attitude and just like with so much validation and names and details. It was just absolutely beautiful. And I was in tears and she was in tears and we're standing next to the dog food at Ralph's. And I just knew that like this was just, you know, it was so meant to be. And this was off camera. This was just on a random day. I wasn't filming. And it was just amazing.
Everybody connects with spirits in a different way. James Von Prague has his system. How about you?
Yeah, I always tell people that unlike some other, and this isn't to put any other mediums down, but there I've watched a lot of other mediums work, and they are incredibly gifted, and they're amazing. But I've noticed that what sets me apart, or that what kind of makes me a little bit different, is I kind of stray away from, I guess, the quote unquote traditional mediumship. I very much so just say it how it is. I have no filter. I really don't have any filter when it comes to interpreting what's coming through and delivering the messages. Obviously, I'm careful to not offend anybody, but I let their sense of humor come through and their sassiness and their cursing, and we just have a good time and really allow their personality to kind of fully come through me. And I've just, the style of it, I think, is a little bit differently, which you can kind of tell when you actually watch me versus some of these other mediums.
Well, whatever you're doing, keep doing it.
Oh, thank you.
You're doing it the right way, and you're helping a lot of people. How do they find you these days? Was it because of the notoriety of the TV program? How do people get to you?
Well, I had a year waiting list before I even started filming one of my show, but since then, it's just been absolutely overwhelming, the response. And yeah, at this point, I don't even take on new bookings or add people to a wait list because I'm so booked so far out. But I've been doing more events where I can reach more people and trying to share my gift with as many people as possible with the platform I've been given with the show. Because even though I can't reach everybody one-on-one individually for a reading, they can too receive that comfort, or it allows them to help with their own grief and their loss by relating and connecting to some of the readings they get to watch in the show.
What do you like about being a medium?
So many things. Honestly, I think my favorite part about this work is really the transformation that I see with people. And it's not just something that, it's really not something you just see or hear when they give that feedback at the end of a reading, but it's something I can feel. When I give a hug to my clients at the end of a session, like, I feel that energy. I can feel that weight that's been lifted off their shoulders and the layers of grief, really, that have been peeled away. And I think that's the most rewarding feeling that I get. And I think the other amazing part about this work is I'm only 22 years old, and I think that I've learned so much at such a young age about life and how, you know, we should, you know, just certain life lessons of how we should kind of take day after day and the things that we should keep in mind and things that are important because of what I've learned and seen through Connecting to Spirit and the messages that have come through.
Monica, stay with us. We're going to come back, talk a little bit more. The next hour, we'll open up the phone lines where everybody can chat with you right here on Coast to Coast AM. We'll take your calls next hour with Monica Tenkade as we talk about the spirit world. We're going to get into it, too. It's a fascinating subject. And welcome back to Coast, Monica Tenkade with us, and we talk about the spirit world, the mediums. Have you ever had a spirit you wanted to get rid of and just have them go off and get away from you?
yes, and yeah, they're not always the kindest at listening sometimes, but one time I was studying at the library at Penn State, and the spirit, it was somebody's mom. She was so strong, and I was studying for finals, and I actually could not focus for the life of me. I had to leave the library, walk downtown. Spirit led me into going into an empty bar at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. I sat up at the bar, did not order alcohol, just got like an iced tea, and I just knew I was supposed to be there. The bartender, her mom had died, and she came through, and it was incredibly strong and pretty amazing. So, but that was one of those times I could not shake it, and I just had to go with it.
Yeah, I was just mentioning our dating site, paranormaldate.com.
I was laughing at that. Mediumdate.com.
Have you had strange things happen to you on dates? I mean, do you tell them what? I guess you have to tell them what you do. They know you.
Yeah. The last date that I had gone on, actually, which you see me go on this season, was a blind date that my roommate set up. And my new roommates had told me, Monica, we have two rules for you. One, you can't tell them that you're a medium within the first hour. And two, no giving readings. I told him I was a medium within like 10 minutes and gave him a reading within 30. So I broke all those rules. But hey, now he's my boyfriend. So
oh, really?
It worked out great.
And so he gets you.
Yes.
That's important. It is so important to do that.
Absolutely.
The spirits that come through, do they ever discuss what it's like where they are?
Yeah, to an extent. I mean, I can see they discuss almost like the bits and pieces. I do not and will not have all the answers of what the afterlife is all about until I'm one day there. But they really just communicate that it's a beautiful place and they're reunited with their loved ones and they can be in more than one place at once with different loved ones here in the physical world, but also they have certain roles and jobs that they have on the other side and things that they're doing to help with their learning and growing. So yeah, they'll also sometimes show me like their version of heaven. Like sometimes they'll show me like, I'll have spirit come through saying, tell my loved one that I'm riding motorcycles up in heaven, and the person will start crying and saying, like, my dad was the biggest motorcycle rider ever, and, you know, so, like, they'll communicate things like that, too.
Want to hear my spirit joke?
Yes.
It's not too long. I will give you permission to use it at your events.
Ooh!
Okay? Two old girls, they were dear friends since childhood, Rose and Bev. And they made a pact with each other. They said that when we die, you need to come back. The person who dies needs to come back and tell the other person what it's like.
Uh-huh.
And they said, oh, great, we'll do it. They signed this pact together. They shook hands. And, you know, when they were girls in high school, they played softball together, and they just went to parties, and they just did all these things together. And so one day, Bev died. And Rose is in bed, and she hears a voice, Rose, Rose, Rose. And she wakes up. She goes, Bev, is that you? Is that you? And she said, yes, Rose. And she said, well, Bev, tell me, what's it like? What's it like? She said, well, there's good news and bad news. The good news is we're young again up here. We can do everything. We play softball every day, and it's always sunny. And she said, well, what's the bad news? She says, well, you're pitching tomorrow.
That's amazing. Oh, my God.
That's the spirit joke for you.
I love it. I will absolutely use that, and I'll give you credit.
All right. You got it. You got
awesome.
It.
Awesome.
There are a lot of mediums out there.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know if you want to go to one, how to pick the most sincere one, the person who's not trying to rip somebody off or take advantage of them.
Yes, I get this question a lot. And my advice is, first and foremost, we all have, as humans, this innate ability within us. And so this, you know, ability, our own intuition. So with the people who are seeking out a medium and they want to know, is this person genuine? Are they going to rip me off? Are they for real? First thing you should do is trust your own instinct, your own intuition. What's your gut feeling when you look at their picture, look in their eyes? What do you get a sense of? And really kind of trust that initial feeling you get. Beyond that, I always say some of the red flags that kind of stand out to me would be the mediums that you go to their website and under services, it's like past life regression, hypnotism, mediumship, psychic readings, like everything in like the new agey field that you could possibly imagine is on under their services.
It's like a business.
It's almost like, well, how could you be doing this? You would just be spreading yourself too thin if you have that gift with to do every one of those things. I just feel like it's not possible to be as strong in your mediumship abilities if you're doing everything else. So that's a bit of a red flag to me. And then anybody who says, you know, for this price that you'll get to get, like guaranteeing or saying you have a negative energy and you can only get rid of it for a certain amount of money. There's a couple of things, but definitely you want to just be wary of what their energy is and kind of what they're all about.
This was way before your time, but Harry Houdini, a great magician, when he died, was obsessed with communicating with his wife. And before he even died, when his mother died, he was obsessed with trying to find out about her. So he would go to medium after medium after medium, and he was always unsuccessful. Then when he died, they would do seances to try to connect with him and everything else. What do you tell skeptics, non-believers, about the other side? Because they just simply don't believe this.
Well, I never try to force my beliefs onto anybody. I just try to tell people, look, I respect how you feel, and it's not just normal to be skeptical. It's healthy to have a certain amount of skepticism with everything. Even I'm a skeptic when it comes to new experiences. If I wasn't the one communicating with the dead, I would be like, no way, this can't be real. So I just try to allow the skeptics to at least witness my gift, whether it be experiencing it firsthand or seeing it live with somebody else, before they at least come to a conclusion with me and my ability. But also, I think a lot of these skeptics come from a place of fear. You know, they're afraid of this being possible. They could witness maybe, you know, 50 incredible connections with tons of validation, and they would still always find a reason why it must not be real. And I think it's because they're afraid of what's out there and that life does exist beyond here in the physical world, and, you know, they just don't want to come to terms with even this being a possibility that people can have this gift.
I've always told people, too, if I'm wrong, I'm not going to know it.
You know? If this whole time my mom was right and it is the devil disguising himself as an angel and all of that, then I'll be the first to apologize when I'm one day up above. I can say with 99.99% certainty that it is spirit. No, there's just been too many undeniable instances where I'm just, you know, at part of this work is when you first start out, it's not just about giving validation to your clients. It's about giving validation to yourself.
Oh, that's right. Did you ever question yourself?
Oh,
did you ever say,
absolutely,
this little voice in my head, it's really me. It's not some spirit.
Absolutely. When I was first hearing and feeling and sensing spirit and really initially just coming out of the medium closet per se, I was the biggest skeptic more than anybody else, because I'm actually a very rational, reasonable person. that thinks through things and questions everything. So I was definitely skeptical. And not only was I skeptical, I also thought, okay, well, maybe I have a brain tumor. For a while, I thought, okay, I'm sick, I'm dying. or I had, like, you know, schizophrenia or something. But, you know, those questions.
Which is a natural thing to think.
Oh, absolutely. And I remember the questions that would run through my mind. Is this truly from spirit? Is this real? How can I be sure I'm not making this up? Am I interpreting these messages correctly? But a lot of newer mediums, the biggest wall that they'll hit is the fact that when you start to let the fear and doubt creep in, it is much harder to connect to spirit. You're not going to be as strong of a channel for the other side. Once you can come to a place where you can fully trust and know that you have this ability and spirit will show up no matter what, then it just gets stronger from there. So you just have to come from that attitude, and over time the validation comes to you through the experiences you have doing these readings. You just are like, okay, this is undeniable.
Have you ever used a Ouija board?
Oh, no. Actually, no, I did. I was around.
Uh-oh.
I was with friends in seventh grade who had used a Ouija board, and I remember I felt so sick that I felt like I was going to vomit, and I got out of the house, and I left because it was just too overwhelming. I always tell people, like, what are you doing with a Ouija board? Like, there are times people have used Ouija boards to connect to a positive, safe, net peace loved one, but more often than not, it opens up kind of that portal or opens up the door to more of the earthbound energy or the ghosty ghosts, I'll call them. And it's just not something you'd really want to mess with, especially when these people are using them. They aren't trained in protecting yourself and your energy and guarding yourself from those negative things coming through.
Monica, what would you tell a parent who has a child that might have these same abilities?
I am the first to try to encourage parents whose children are feeling and hearing things and sensing spirit that, you know, it's okay, and you shouldn't, because a lot of parents, they think that they should jump to the conclusion that, okay, honey, that's not real, this isn't happening, or it's an imaginary friend. But the more that they can have a conversation and that openness with their children, I think the easier it'll be on their kids. And them telling them it's okay and it's not something that they should be afraid of or feel ashamed of will help that child communicate with them. And if it gets to the point where the child doesn't want to have that connection, there are tools and things that the parents can do to help them and talk to them about. But I think more and more kids are so open to spirit these days, because I think as a society as a whole, we're going through kind of a spiritual awakening, and more people are becoming accepting of mediumship and spirit and what it is that I do.
Are males better mediums than females? Does it have any, sex limits?
No, I would not say one is better than the other. However, I am curious as to why, just from what I've noticed, there seems to be a lot more female mediums, but then the male mediums, a lot of them are gay. And I don't know what the reasoning or why, or if there is a why, but I mean, there are, of course, a lot of straight male mediums too, but it is an interesting thing that even I don't have the answer to.
If everything you've done in your career has convinced you that the other side exists, I got to ask you the question about God. Where does God fit in here?
Yes. Well, you know, like you had mentioned earlier, I grew up in a very Catholic household, mm-hmm. going to school my whole life at a Catholic school and going to church every Sunday. And I no longer place myself in any specific religion, but through the work that I've done as a medium and connecting to spirit, I am more spiritual and more believing of God, of heaven, or, you know, you can call it what you'd like, the afterlife, the other side of heaven, the angels, you know, the saints, all these things. There are obviously parts of certain of the Catholic faith and even other religions that I do feel are not valid, but there is still a reason why in this lifetime we are maybe supposed to be in that religion to grow and learn from those experiences. But Yeah, through the work I've done, I so believe more than ever of God and you know, what happens after we die and the afterlife part of things.
All right, so your mother thinks this is demonic.
Yeah.
Where does the devil fit in with any of this? Because there is a hell, isn't there?
Sorry?
Isn't there a hell?
I personally do not believe in a hell, like the fiery pits of hell kind of hell that we hear about maybe in the Bible or it's depicted. But I feel that heaven is more so kind of like levels, and that maybe if you were not the greatest person or you did some really terrible things here during this lifetime, that you might be at a lower level. Of the other side, it's kind of at a lower vibration or lower frequency. But, you know, you had that opportunity, I believe, to grow and learn from the mistakes, some may call those sins, that you had made here in the physical world and kind of go up those levels and become closer to God and the more beautiful part of the other side.
Can souls separate? Some people say they can, so they reincarnate. And do you believe in reincarnation?
I know it's a little bit controversial. That's another thing my mom struggles with is when I talk about reincarnation because of what the Catholic Church has said and all of that. But I do believe in reincarnation. I absolutely feel that we are here for this lifetime and that we're coming back to the physical world because we didn't learn certain things that we were supposed to the last time around, and that in the coming lifetimes we may return again as part of our soul's growth. So I do believe in reincarnation.
Does the soul, Monica, in your opinion, does it split where it gets reincarnated, but it also stays?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I feel the way that spirits communicated to me, at least, is that there's always our highest self that it remains in heaven or the other side. So the highest self and that part of our soul will be there and still has a part of all of our lifetimes and who we are and the memories and all of that. Will stay there, and then a part of that of your highest self will break away each time you come back around, and then return back to your higher self. You know, when you cross over. So, yeah, that's my feeling and what I've learned through what I do on that.
Why is it that in some cases your dearly departed, the people you were the closest with, do not communicate with you? They don't come over. Now, maybe you as a medium can do that, but I mean, they don't come to the individual, the family member. They just don't. Why not?
You know, every spirit is different. Every spirit communicates different, and some are stronger than others. And some spirits maybe have a larger role in the afterlife. Some work as mentors to those who are newly crossed over, or teachers, and some are guiding other people and are doing certain things where maybe they don't have as much time to come be with their loved ones here in the physical world, or other times, or most of the time really has more so to do with the person here in the physical world and their openness to feeling and receiving the signs and symbols or the hellos from heaven from their loved ones. A lot of people tell me, but Monica, I'm looking everywhere. Like, I want my dad to come through in a dream. I want to get the song on the radio. What's happening? It's like you have to find that fine balance between being open to receiving the messages, but then not looking for it so hard where you're going to be searching like crazy where you're going to miss it. It's like you have to be just open but not looking like all over the place.
Exactly. Hey, Monica, we're going to take phone calls with you next hour right here on Coast to Coast AM.